Blog Talk Radio.
Mary Smith McCoy, and the talented
loves us, being able to know that you are listening and that the Lord God Almighty is giving you each week what you need in order to make it from day unto day. Today we're excited about the Word of God. We're excited about what God is about to do. Our topic for the day is God's essence. And our key verse today will be God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Our central truth today is God is the eternal spirit. We want you to call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the Breakthrough broadcast is on the air, and the woman of God, the women of God are here in order to bless you as the anointing and this power get ready to write and divide the word of truth. For the word of God says that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So why not call a neighbor, call a friend, and tell them that the Breakthrough broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done. Thank you, dear God, for all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, dear God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And God, that word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for all the listeners, for those, God, that have tuned in today to hear what thus says the word of God. We thank you, God, for our panelists. We thank God for all of those from city to city and state to state as they embrace your word today. God, they'll be able, Father God, to go forth and that they'll be able to tell others about thee as well. So here, God, we thank you for what you are about to do here on this Breakthrough broadcast. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Again, our topic today is God's essence, and we just celebrate the Lord as he moves in the midst of people. We want to take this opportunity to welcome the Breakthrough panel, and we would like to you to know who they are once again, and I know that you've gotten familiar with them, but let's welcome Miss Helen Hooper, Pastor Joel Dean Spencer, Pastor Gladys Sampson, Pastor Mary Wilson, and I am your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we are always kind of a blessing and a privilege to come before God's people. At this time, we're getting ready because we have an awesome study today. I know that you're going to be blessed. So if you have a Bible, why don't you just open that Bible if you're writing or you're just sitting in a neighbor's home or in a place that you don't have a Bible, why don't you just listen to the Word of God as we get ready to discuss it in depth. We have three different topics, subtopics that we're going to be addressing on the day. The first one is God is spirit. The second is God is a person. And the third is God is eternal and unchangeable. We're getting ready to go to our first panelist on today. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome Ms. Helen Hooper to the Breakthrough broadcast. Ms. Hooper.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Dr. McCoy. Hello to all our listeners. God bless you and our broadcast family. God bless you. And the first topic is God is a spirit, and I have a couple of books in Texas scriptures to go through, so I'm just going to start reading. The first is going to be Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 12, 15, and 16. And verse 12 says, "And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only you heard a voice." Verse 15 says, you therefore good heed unto yourself, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. And verse 16 says, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you graven images, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. And the next book we're going to go to is going to be John chapter 4, verse 24. And it says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to read chapter 3, verse 17, which says, now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then we're going to go over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 15, and it says, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And verse 15 says, who is the image of invisible God, the firstborn of every creation. And the last book we're going to go to is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, and it's going to read, who only have immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And here we're talking about God as a spirit. And it's all those chapters that I went to and all the verses you can follow in your Bibles, I hope, later, and you wrote all that down and you can follow me with that. But it says God is a spirit. And here we know that when we're worshiping God, when we're worshiping him, we should worship him in spirit and in truth. And Deuteronomy, it was talking about obedience and idolatry, being careful that they did not make graven images unto him, because, like it says, God is a spirit. No man has seen him. He has no form, no shape. He's a spirit. He's everywhere. So when we worship him, we should worship him in holiness. We should worship him in truth, meaning that we should be real before him. We should go before the throne of God being real, because God knows everything anyway. He knows all anyway. He knows our heart. So if God is a spirit, we should worship him in spirit. And when we go down to Romans, we read in Romans, it says that that's what he sent the Holy Spirit as a helper, as a guide for us. And it says that the Holy Spirit make intercession for us. I think it's Romans 8 and 26. It says the Spirit, you know, helps our weaknesses. It helps our infirmities. That means our everyday problems. If we pray in the Holy Ghost and we pray in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is a helper for us, and it goes before the throne of God. It goes before God for us. He makes intercession for us, because the word says that we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. So the Holy Spirit goes and it makes intercession for us. So we should always pray in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows what to pray. And when he prays to God, he understands what we're trying to say. He understands how to get that prayer through. He knows exactly what to do, and God understands exactly what we're saying. So we should pray in the Spirit. We should pray in truth, being real when we come to him. Be just laying all other things aside, just being real for him and just being real unto him. We have to just go into the Spirit. I hear a lot of people sometimes when they preach, it says, Holy Spirit, help me. And that just means that, hey, lead me, guide me. You know, I know what I want to say. I know what I'm trying to say. That's just like when we go before him, when we pray in the Spirit, we should go before him in the Spirit. We should pray. And those of us who don't pray in the Spirit, we need to learn. We need to get in the Word so we'll know what it says about praying in the Spirit, because God understands our heart. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us to get that work done, to get that prayer through. Yeah, some, like it says, we don't know what to pray for all the time. Sometimes we pray amiss. But the Holy Spirit is right there so we can pray and we can get that prayer through, because he knows exactly what we're going through. He knows exactly what we're trying to say. And when he goes before the Lord, when he goes before the throne with groanings, it says that nobody can understand it, but God can understand it. And that confuses the enemy. That's why I like to pray in the Spirit, because when you pray in the Spirit, the enemy doesn't know what you're saying, and it confuses the enemy. And you send that into the enemy's camp, you just just confuse them totally. It's a spirit of confusion that goes into the enemy's camp. He doesn't know what you're praying because you're in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is making intercession for you. So God is a spirit. That means he is everywhere. He's everywhere. And he is to be praised in holiness and truth and realness. So when we go before him, we just need to be real with God, because God is always real with us. He is waiting for us to be real with him, and we can't get any better than that. He's there. The Holy Spirit is there just to do whatever we need him to do. And we have to learn how to pray in the Spirit. We have to learn that God is not an image. Because some people, like I said in Deuteronomy, be careful. It was a warning. Be careful not to make graven images, because you've never seen me. Even when I spoke to you, like you told Moses, even when I spoke to you, you just saw the flames. You didn't see an image. You didn't see a body. There was nothing there. It was just, you saw flame. So he was telling them in Deuteronomy, be careful not to make graven images of me. Idolatry. He was telling them to be careful not to get over into idolatry, worshiping idols, because you've never seen me. And over there, when it says the last verse in 1 Timothy, it says, who only have immortality dwelling in the light, in which no man can approach into. I mean, he's a light that it is so magnificent, it is so strong, it is so real, no man can approach. We have to go to the Father, through the Holy Spirit, to get to him and get these prayers answered. When you pray, that's what I'm saying, when you pray, pray in the Spirit, and let God use you in the Spirit. That breaks yokes, it destroys things. But like I said, the Holy Spirit is making intercession, because sometimes we pray amiss, and we don't know what to pray for. We're praying for things that's not even God's will. The Holy Spirit prays and helps us exactly to do what exactly he prays, the will of God. Sometimes we're not following the will of God, so we're not praying the will of God. So when the Holy Spirit is there, and you're in the Spirit, and you're praying in the Spirit, he makes intercession. He knows exactly what to pray, because he's praying the will of the Father. So that means that your prayers are going to be answered. So saints, whoever's listening, the saints out there, we need to learn how to pray in the Spirit, because it says here God is a spirit. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He doesn't have an image. He's not anything that you can look upon and say, okay, I saw. He isn't that. Just like he said, you didn't see any images. Be careful not to think that, because it will limit to where you can go in God. It will limit your prayers. So we have to think of God as a spirit, and that's what it's telling us here. God is a spirit. His whole essence is a spirit. He is just, he's there for us, and we need to learn how to pray in the Spirit. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper. We thank God for the Word of God. We thank God that we can get a greater insight to know who God is. I ask you today, do you know who God is? Do you know how to pray? Do you know how to get in touch with him? Do you know that even as Ms. Cooper said, that we should pray in the Spirit? I believe she said that is the way that she usually prays. And in many of the people of God, we pray in the Spirit, as she said, that the enemy don't know what we are praying, don't know what we are saying, don't know the petition that we are making before God. Now, if there's somebody that don't have their prayer language and don't know how to pray, I want you to know that God will hear your prayer, and you should go ahead and pray unto God, because it is your right to make your petition known before God, and believe God, and that God will give you that prayer language that you too can be able to pray. But be assured that he can hear and will hear what you say. Word of God say, ask and it shall be given. He said, the seeking ye shall find, knocking the door shall be open. He said, we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, say to the mountain, be thou moved. It said, and it shall be moved. So I thank God for the woman of God today, as she gave us a look into God is a spirit. And thank God that he is a spirit, and we can worship him in the Spirit and in the truth. God has a way that we can be able to connect unto him, that we can know him. As she said many times, that there are people, even when we look at in the Old Testament, how people have made certain images and things, they're God, but there is not but one living and true God, and that is the God that is the God that we serve, the God who is the Alpha and Omega, who is the beginning and end. The God is from the beginning and the God that will always be here for us. So God is, as she said, that God is not the spirit. He don't give us a spirit of confusion. We must pray in the spirit so that we can confuse, I believe she said, the enemy. So we thank God for his word. Thank God for what he is doing here today. And I pray, God, that you're catching hold to on God's word, because he wants you to know the truth and how to intercede, how to pray, how to get that prayer through, how to talk to him, to let him know who he is. Many people today don't have an idea. They know that it's a God, but they don't really know who he is. She said that God is a person, and she has given you the book of Exodus, Isaiah, and in the word of God that she has gone through, Deuteronomy, John, 2 Corinthians, Colossians, and 1 Timothy. Right now we're getting ready to go to our second subtopic, which is God is a person. And we're getting ready to hear from Pastor Geraldine Spencer, and she's going to be coming from the book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter, 5th through that 12th verse, I believe, and we're just going to let the Lord have his way. In Exodus, the 3rd chapter, 13 through the 15th verse, we'd like to welcome Pastor Geraldine Spencer to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dr. McCoy, to the panelists and to the Breakthrough audience. I'm going to be, my title is God is a Person, and I'm going to be doing Exodus 3, 13 through 15, and I'll be reading that from the King James Version, the New King James Version. And it says, verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Amen. And God is saying here, when he told him to go and to do what he had called him to do, and Moses asked the question of who should he say sent him. In other words, God said to him, tell them that, in other words, because the Israelites knew about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he was saying to tell them about who I am that same God, that I am their provider. I am, in other words, the one who created everything. I am the all-existing God. I am their provider. I am the one that is being using you to come forth to deliver them. But it's truly me by your spirit that is being used through you. So God was letting him know what to speak to the people. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, when God is sending us to do something, that God will confirm and will let us know and will give us what to say when the question and everything be arrived, that he is a person, that he was able, in other words, he's able to identify with what's going on, what's taking place, and to let them know and to give them comfort that he is the one, that he is the true and living God, and that he was being sent by God. And here I'm going to go to Isaiah 45, and I'm also going to be reading that from the New King James Version, and verses 5 through 12. And Isaiah 45, verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Rain down you heat heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who formed it, what are you making? Or shall your handy work say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? And or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, you command me. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hands, stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts I have commanded. Here, the Lord is, in other words, he's confirming with his word and showing us that, amen, that when God uses someone or sends someone to us and they only tell us what, you know, God has told them to tell us, that that's an assurance that lets you know that I am the Lord, that I'm the one that told them about it, and I'm the one that's sending this message to you. And God is just letting it be known that he is the one, he's the maker, he's the creator of all things, he's the sovereign God, he's the one that gives life, he's the one that takes life. He, everything, hallelujah, exists upon him. Without him, there is no existence. So he was the one that spoke, hallelujah, where there was void, and spoke that there be light, and there was light, that he is a true and living God. And, you know, a lot of times we want to say, well, you know, I don't know if that's the Lord. I mean, when God gives a word or send a message to you, and it's something that, you know, don't nobody know about you but the Lord, and God is letting you know that I'm sending a word to you to let you know that I am the true and living God, that I'm calling you, that I'm coming forth for you, for time for you to come in, and that he is a person, that he's able to identify with what is taking place in our lives, what is going through. He knows how to bring us out. He knows at what point we're going to come out. He knows even the number of hairs that we have on our head. He knows everything there is about us. So he knows, and he just wants us to be assured and to know that when he comes to us, that we recognize and we be obedient, amen, to receive and to listen to him. For he is the creator. He is the true and living God. That he, in other words, is showing his essence, who he is, his characteristics, and his character. He exemplified, he shows it in his word, and he let us be known that it is him, that there is no other. Nobody can do what he can do. Right to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Spencer. We thank God that there is no other God. Yes, he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. And we thank God that he wanted his people, Israel, to know who he was. No, they didn't get to see him. There was different forms that he presented himself, but no, they did not get to see him. But yet he wanted them to know that he were their God. And the same way that God wanted the Israelites to know that he was their God, God wants his people to realize who he is and to know the benefits of knowing him, the benefits of going to him in prayer, the benefits of going and praying like the never before, to making your petition known before him. Yes, he is that person. He is the only, and he is that true, and he is that living God. And yes, he does have all power in his hand. And we thank God today because we are here and we are setting, and we are discussing who God is. First, we were able to go and see that God is a spirit that came from Miss Helen Hoover. And then we came and we talked about God is a person from Exodus of the third chapter, 13 through that 15th verse. And then we began to talk about Isaiah, went from Isaiah, the 45th chapter, the 5th to the 7th verse. And now we're going to be going through the 45th chapter, the 8th through that 12th verse, and Matthew 6 chapter, 30 to the 32nd verse. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome to our broadcast Pastor Gladys Sampson.
Praise the Lord. Thank God this evening for this day, and we give God the honor, praise, and glory for all things. We thank God for Dr. McCoy as well. And to the panel, we do thank God for what has been said today. And as I was looking at Isaiah, rather, 45 and 5 through 12, and he did what he was talking about. And as I begin to look at this, and the writer said that he created evil, refers to the physical evil or calamity rather than moral evil. God is in no way pictured in Scripture as the author of sin. And where he said, drop down, ye heavens, pour down righteousness, is a prayer for God to intervene in human history. Thus, righteousness is pictured as coming down from above and springing up from beneath, simultaneously. So when we look at this, we know that, praise God, that God intervenes in our life, and God comes to restore and give unto us the things that is good for us. I believe I heard the sister was talking about, he, praise God, how he sees and he knows all things. And because of that reason, amen, he knows our need. He knows what we have in need of. And so I'm going to go over to Matthew 6 and 30 and 32. And it says, therefore if God so clothes the grass of the field, which together is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of, all these things. And so as I was looking and I was listening to what she was saying concerning Isaiah 45 through 5 through 12, and just thinking on Matthew 6 and 30, and the Bible clearly teaches us that God is the creator and the sustainer of nature, and surely as he is a creator and a sustainer of nature, then he is also the sustainer of our life. God knows what we have need of, and he sees and he cares. And so when I look at this, he said we must have total faith and confidence in the provision of God. And he lets us know that, praise God, in order that we can limit the anxiety that we go through and the worrying about stuff that we come against so many times. The enemy come and bring things in our life. But if we could just have total confidence, praise God, and trust him for everything that he is to us, and not only that, but know that he's concerned about every part of us. He's concerned about, praise God, what concerns us, whether it be, praise God, in our physical life or our spiritual life. God is concerned about us. And I like it because the writer in my Bible said he relates to us. And because he relates to us is a reference, praise God, is probably, he said, the actual height, but the length of his life. He lets us know, praise God, that worration, praise God, can also cause you, praise God, to shorten even the time even of your life. because there's so much stress and so much anxiety. And that's why I come back to the point where he said that we must have total confidence in God's provision. Amen. We must believe that he is and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and that we, praise God, can be confident in knowing that if we are abiding in him and he's abiding in us, whatever we ask in his name, God is surely going to do it for us. So we don't have to, praise God, get down and get worried and God start to grieving about things. Many times we do because that's the human side of us. We've taken our eyes off of God and what he can do. But we must never, praise God, and I say that, praise God, to myself and to all of us. Sometimes we get backed up into a situation and we are worried about how this thing is going to really work out, how it's going to really come forth. But one thing for sure is if God is in it, if God is ahead of this situation, whatever it is, God is going to bring you through, especially when you are following him and you're allowing him to be the leader and the director of your life. And so I say that, praise God, in reference, amen, to us as being humans. We have a tendency to want to, a lot of time, praise God, have take things in our own hand, or we want to worry about things. But this is a word to let us know not to worry. Don't get into a state of anxiety, praise God, about what is going on in your life. God sees. He already knew, praise God, that the enemy is going to try this trick before he tried it. But sometimes God allows things to happen so that it can build our faith. And so our faith, praise God, must be totally in who God is. And because of who he is, amen, he, praise God, is controlling every inch of our life. He's controlling us, just like he controlled that even what happened to Job. He allowed it to happen to Job. But God was, praise God, the essence of what was going to come out at the end of what Job was going to praise God, to be blessed with. And so that's the way we must look at it, that regardless of what, praise God, we're going through in our life, we must know that God is going to bring us through in order to bless us if we put our trust in him, if we totally have our confidence, praise God, in the Lord. He's going to give us, praise God, the things that he knows, praise God, that we need. He's going to provide on every hand, not just in one circumstance of our life, but God is going to provide in everything, praise God, that we need. And so here I just see that, praise God, Matthew, amen, praise the Lord, is talking about how that, praise God, he said, after all these things, do the Gentiles seek for this? And, you know, when I think about this, this is for people that really don't really know God, that they would see circumstances going on in their life, and they would just get down in the dump, and their spirits change, and their attitude change, and all of this. But in everything, we must always, he said, give thanks unto him who's able, praise God, to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. And we can just keep our focus and our mind stayed on this and say, regardless of what's happening, I know God is going to make it right. Praise God. It may not look good now, but God is going to make it right. So he don't want us to care, to praise God, to have little faith, but he wants us to have faith, praise God, and total confidence in the provision of God, and just know who he is. Come to know him, praise God, as your personal Lord and Savior, and that he will never leave you nor forsake you, but he'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. Praise God. Surely we know that things get rough sometimes. Surely we know that, praise God, the storm clouds rise and tribulations and trials come forth just to, praise God, weaken us. But if we can just keep our focus on God and know that, praise God, he is the captain of our ship, and he will channel us through, praise God, these stormy times of our life. So I thank and honor God today for his word, praise God, and we pray that we will take this word and use it to our benefit, praise God, that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Praise God. You're back in the hands of Dr. McCoy.
Thank you. God bless you, woman of God. Thank God for Pastor Sampson. We thank God for his word. We thank God for God, speak it into the lives of his people. I believe she said that God is the captain of the ship, the one that is in charge, the one that has all power in his hand. And she was telling us about keeping our focus not to be on people of things or things that are happening, or things that's going to happen, but our focus need to be on Christ. Even as Peter, when Jesus was walking on the water, and he wanted Jesus to allow him to walk on the water as well, and God allowed him to do so and told him to come. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, then he began to sink. So therefore, it let us know that certainly we need to keep focus. We need to keep our eyes on God. I believe you should talk about having confidence in God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. So here we see today that God will wreck our path. Where does God say, seeking first the kingdom of God? Seeking first, we got to seek him and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. And the last thing I wanted to bring forth was one of the things that the Word of God says, that he will not leave us, neither forsake us. And sometimes we're going through things in our lives, but people of God, we got to know that God is continuing with us. Even as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even they went through some things in their life, but they had to trust God. Even in a critical time, they had to trust God. Even in the time that you're going through, even now, yet you have to trust God. Realize who he is. God is present. The word says God is a spirit. They that worship him must, not maybe, but must worship him in the spirit and in the truth. The only way that we can worship him, the only way we can connect with him is in the spirit and in the truth. God's word is true. God's word is the spirit. And we thank God for the manifestation of his power, the manifestation of his spirit, the way he's manifest himself. So first of all, we have to know who he is. We have to know who we are in him. And I thank God that even as God has shown Moses who he was in that burning bush, he not knowing who he was and what it was, but God truly, when we seek the face of God, God wants us to know every aspect of him, everything about him. He's not that God that is hiding. He's not that God that's a rock. He's not that God that's a statue. He's not that God that's on the table that you can set him on the table. Take him out when you get ready. Put it back on when you get ready. But God is that God that's consistently, he is everywhere, and I thank God that we can behold him and that we can count him and him even in times of need. So we thank God, as you have heard the word of God, as you've heard the word of God speaking truth today, I hope that you have received of the Lord and that you are continuing to receive of God. Our last topic today, we're going to be blessed with, that is, God is eternal and unchanging. And I'm telling you, I believe that there is, even as we have heard of the women of God today, we are getting ready again to be blessed, to know that God, he is eternal and he is unchangeable. Let's get ready. And bless the Lord for Pastor Mary Wilson.
God bless you, Dr. McCoy. God bless all of our listening audience today. I'm going to be coming from a couple of scriptures. I'll first be coming from Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. The word of the Lord reads as follows. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. My topic today is God is eternal and unchanging. We have to understand, we a lot of times we think and we come at God from a carnal mindset. We as the people of God, we have to be kingdom minded. We have to realize that God is bigger than time. Before the earth was, God was. We so try to put God in a box and try to figure God out, and sometimes we try to think God, but God is a spirit, and we've got to receive from him in a spiritual manner. So we've got to have a kingdom mindset to understand that he is eternal. He is beyond time. Time never applies to the Father. He is beyond it. He is eternal. He is everlasting. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the beginning of it all, the Omega, the ending of it all. He is eternal. We have to realize the word eternal. He is forever. There is no ending to God. He is eternal. He does not change at all. So we as people, we change. We change daily. But God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore, which means we can depend on God. He is faithful. Even when we read, if we read our word from Genesis to Revelation, God is unchanging, meaning when we look at how he deals with his people, there's always grace, there's always love, but there's always correction as well. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He does not change, and we have to realize that he doesn't change, so we change. Daily we change. We change the way we act. We change the way we look, but God does not change. He is the same no matter what, which makes his nature, the nature of who he is unchangeable. When God established the earth, he put laws, he put decrees, he put the kingdom in order, and it does not change. Everything in the word of God, it is so. It does not change. We can't go to it. We cannot shift it. We cannot add to it. We cannot take away from it. It is the same. So is our Father. And even as I think about him being unchangeable, who would not want to serve a God who is the same? Sometimes we go to people and we don't know how to take them because one minute they're up, one minute they're down, but you can go to your Father. He is the same always. He is unchangeable. So we have to think kingdom-minded. When God established the earth, when he put laws into effect in the word of God, he was coming from a kingdom mindset, meaning he's not going to change. So we can come to him in worship. Abba, Father, he is the same. He's going to inhabit the praises of his people. He seeks worshipers. He has not changed. From Genesis, he was seeking worshipers. And even to today, he's still seeking true worshipers. God has not changed. He's still seeking holiness as he was in Genesis. So is he today. He's seeking for a people who will worship him in spirit and truth and who will live for him, who will say, for God I live and for God I die. The expectations for those in the old is still the expectation for us today. It has not shifted. We've heard before, we've studied previously that Jesus, he came to fulfill the law. He is the same. He is the same. We change. But if we ever get a kingdom mindset and really understand who God is and who we serve, then we'll realize that he is eternal and he is unchanging. We can come to him because he is God. He is judge. He is ruler of the earth. He has not changed from the beginning of time in Genesis when he created the earth. He is still that same God today. When the words of the Bible were written and put on paper, he is the same God that gave man the unction under the Holy Ghost to write the words. He is the same God that sent Jesus to die on our behalf. He has not changed. He is the same. We've got to realize who God is and who we serve, that he is eternal. We have to get that in our minds. When this earth is faded away, when this earth is destroyed, God still is. When the earth was created, he was before the earth in the beginning. He created it all before the creation we know he was. We have to understand, after Revelation, he still will be. And the good thing about it is he's created us to live with him. He's created us. If we make a willing and a sound mind decision to serve God, to live for God, and to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we can reign with him forever and ever and ever. He is eternal, and we were created. Yes, we're going to pass this earth. We're going to fade away from here, but there's life after this, where I can rule and reign with my Father in the heavens, for he is eternal, and he opens the door of eternity to me through salvation. Who would not want to serve a God who is able to do that for us? So we have to realize we need to wake up and come out of a church mindset. We have got to grasp a kingdom mindset, because kingdom helps you realize that he's eternal. Kingdom helps you realize that he's unchanging. So now we've got to shift our mindset. We've got to shift our perception. We can't do religion. We can't do church. We have got to do kingdom. And when we do kingdom, we realize that his kingdom is forever and ever and ever, and it does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. People of God, we've just got to get a kingdom mindset. We've got to get the mind of Christ on the inside of us so that we can function in the earth realm, but yet still be in the kingdom of God. We have got to get it, and once we get it, we'll realize time does not apply to our Father. He is the same. He is eternal. Before we were, he was. And after some of us are gone, he still will be, for he is God Almighty. So we've got to realize the word of the Lord says he is eternal and he is unchanging. It takes kingdom to understand that principle. So we've got to grasp it not in the carnal, we've got to grasp it in the realm of the spirit. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Wilson. Oh, how awesome is God's word. I don't know about you, but when we began to get in that word, when we began to study the word of God, I believe the Lord began to speak to us. I believe that we get built up. I believe that we get strengthened on the inside. I believe even as the woman of God was saying that we need to be kingdom minded. And she told us that God is eternal and unchangeable. Yes, man changed. Yes, people change, but God is the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. Yes, man is carnal. She was talking about the carnality of man. That's why we have to walk in the spirit, that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, we don't think in the carnal minded, but we can have the mind of Christ. Continue to tell us about being kingdom minded. We cannot be kingdom minded until we get in the spirit. Can we pray as the Lord has given us to pray? As we pray an unction of his spirit, knowing that what the word of God said, where it say, ask and it shall be given. He said, to seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. He said, if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, say to the mountain, be not moved, it shall be not moved, it shall be moved. I thank God, because the word of God let us know, even as you were speaking, God is forever. Some things are to be met, majority of the things that we see today, we feel and we touch, and we look at, they are temporary. They are not permanent. They are not forever. But you can be assured today that God is forever, and he does not say it. What he said, yes, said on yesterday, we can stand on it today. And then she was telling us how we can, you know, somebody, people that we can in our lives, that sometimes that the word of God let us know how we can depend on him, that we can have confidence, that we can rely on him, as she began to say. And she was also telling us that God, he knows how to correct his people. He knows how to correct his people. Sometimes man messes it up, but God, he knows how to get us, how he got Moses, how he had to correct him, how he had to correct Eli, how he had to correct Peter. There are so many people, and it's not because they didn't belong to him. They were God people, but because they were not bastards, because they knew and had his spirit, and because they wanted to him to be closer to God and to know him in a deeper way, he had to correct them. So it is today, as with us, that God will bring about a correction in our lives, and he will give us that higher height. He will give us that deeper depth in him if we follow, if we look to the hill with coming out here, knowing that our help coming from God who has made the heavens and the earth. Yes, I thank God. Even she said that God is the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. That's something that we need to keep in our mind, that he is the same. God is the same. His word is the same. His power is the same. He is a supernatural God. He is a miraculous God. He is one that makes ways when it seems to be no way. He is the one that we can count on, the one that we can rely on. I believe she said that he is our judge. He is our judge. He is our ruler. He is the creator of man. So today, I don't know about you today, but I hope that your hope has been built up in Christ to know God, to know his word, and to get closer and closer to him. But the word of God says, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do we need to hear more of God's word? Yes. Do we need to read God's word more? Yes. Word of God says, study for thyself, approve unto God. Workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. We're getting ready to go before the throne of Christ. We're going to be asking Ms. Helen Hooper to take us before the throne on today. So we would like to take this opportunity to invite you to the upcoming event, which is the Crusaders for Christ World Mission and Evangelism present the Women's Conference. It's going to be held at Holy Tabernacle Church, 6416 Marion Street, here in the Bold City of Jacksonville, Florida. We want you to know it's Gap Builders Conference, Gap Builders Conference. And during the process of time, we will let you know how you can get, if you would like to attend the luncheon. The luncheon is $15, which will be on that Saturday. We're going to have an awesome time. We have an awesome speaker, which is Ms. Evangelist Mary Spain. Then we're going to have on that day, we're going to have a luncheon as well as a fashion show. And God have a woman of God and women of God that's going to be there that are saying, and of God grace, and God is going to make a difference in your life. On that Friday night, we have many speakers that God will use for the glory of God. But we can't call the names right now because we need to go before the throne of grace. So we're going to ask you to tune in during our broadcast, and we're going to let you know who these anointed Holy Ghost women of God that's going to bring forth the word of God. Let's go before the throne of grace. We're going to ask Ms. Helen Hooper to take us before the throne.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, I come to you, Father God, knowing that you are creator of everything, Father God, knowing that you have all power in your hand, Father God. Today I'd like to just thank you, Father God, and praise you, Father God, for the broadcast. I thank you, God, for the lives that is touching. I thank you for the people that is drawing to you, Father God. This is your work, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for blessing and letting this word go forth, Father God. Thank you for the women of God, Father God, that comes on each week, God, and just decipher your word and just send your word, Father God. I thank you for Dr. McCoy, Father God. I ask you to continue to lead and guide her and bless her, Father God. I ask you to guide her feet, guide her mind, Father God. Continue to give her your word, Father God. Continue to give her your ideas, Father God. I just rest, rule, and abide on her life, Father God. Father God, I ask you today, Father God, those that are listening, Father God, any infirmities in their body, Father God, We send out the word today, Father God. We send out healing for those who need healing, Father God. We send out blessings, Father God. We ask that you draw them near to you, Father God, as you draw near to them. Father God, we ask you to save. We ask you to set free. We ask you to just set aside, Father God, everything in their lives that just binds them, Father God. We ask you, Father God, to deliver right now as they hear the word of God. Father God, I thank you for this day, Father God. I thank you for your word, Father God. It is true, Father God. Everything in your word, Father God, let the ones that are listening know, Father God, you are real. You are God all by yourself, Father God, and boy, there is no other but you, Father God. Have them to draw to you, Father God, today. Those that are not saved, Father God, I ask you just to just bind everything that's going to keep them away from you, Father God. There they hear your word, Father God, each and every week, each and every Saturday, Father God, as they tune in. Father God, I ask you to draw them closer and closer to you, Father God. I ask you to thank you, Father God, for doing the work through the airways, Father God. Every demonic spirit that tries to come against your people, Father God, I bind it in the name of Jesus, Father God. I send every demonic spirit back to the pit of hell which it came, Father God. I just ask you, Father God, to heal, Father God, to loose and destroy, Father God, yokes, Father God, that will just easily be sent to your people, Father God. I ask you to let them get into your word, into your knowledge, and come into your understanding, Father God, that you love them and that you care for them, Father God. And this is why you said, women of God, like ourselves, Father God, like every woman on the panel today, to be just sent out to the nations, Father God, so you will hear and you will draw your people not to you, Father God. This is the work that you have set to our hands, Father God. Actually, just to stir hearts, to stir minds, Father God. Everything that is on the hearts of your people, Father God, actually just to answer prayer, Father God. Ask you just to let these ring around your throne, Father God. Ask you to send angels, Father God, from your throne straight to the problem, Father God. Ask you not to tarry, Father God, with the problems, Father God. Ask you to answer prayer right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. And those that are not saved, Father God, we want them to know if they confess with their mouth, believe in their heart, Father God, that you died and you rose from the dead for their sins, that they will be saved, Father God. Ask you to confess with their mouths, Father God, that you are God and you are God all by yourself, Father God. This we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We would want you to continue to join us every week here on the Breakthrough Broadcast from the host to the panelists. May God bless you. May the richest blessings of God be upon you always. Please join us on next Saturday at this same time. May God bless and keep you. Is our